I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is where you will find a safe space for independent thinkers out there. And I'm going to start adding capitalists. Free market capitalist people, are they? I don't know if there's many of you left out there, but I want to provide a platform for you as we take another huge lurch to the left. And what I can only say is government dependence. Now I'm going to break this down. This is one of those walking a tightrope subjects. I'll sound like a cold, callous person, and that's not at all my intention. I am trying to explain to people when we are seeing, I'm watching this bailout stuff unfurl in front of us, and it is quite remarkable to watch from this particular vantage point, and we'll talk about it more later on in the show. The money that the government is doling out, many people will see it is a good thing to do. This is obviously a strange situation. Looks like we're headed into some level of a economic emergency. But it is stunning to me that people won't back up just a little bit and realize that the money that is being doled out by the federal government was money that was taken from you in the first place. Not efficiently, not effectively. They don't use it well. We know that there's tons of waste, fraud, and abuse across all platforms. Can you just imagine? And I'm going to keep saying this while I watch this, because as long as the bailout talk's going, and it's going to be for weeks. Look, I think the Senate just passed yesterday phase two. Talking about phase three, this does not include what the Fed has already done. I would imagine our Congress alone will do 10 phases of bailouts over the coming month, 2 months, maybe 3 months. This is going to drag on. Economically, the virus might go. Economically, this is going to stay for a while. I do not believe in the V-shaped recovery. I'm going to give you a statistic in just a second of why you might should be skeptical of that as well. But can you just imagine if the American people actually had their own emergency fund right now? Can you imagine a country that was prepared for something like this economically on the individual level? Now, it wouldn't be everybody. We got a lot of people that are just terrible with money. But can you just imagine if you had a society where the vast majority, I reported yesterday, 79% of working age adults live paycheck to paycheck. 79%. And of the vast majority of those 79%, they're paying federal taxes. You pay them, even if you don't, when you file a return, if you get a refund, even if you get earned income tax credit. I mean, there are some people who may have a net benefit from it, but for the vast majority of us, because you pay taxes. If you go rent a hotel room, you pay federal taxes. If you buy a hamburger, you're paying federal taxes, because taxation is on top of every good or service that we buy. But can you imagine on the individual level, if we had a country where everybody, where they said, hey, look, people, this is what we've been practicing for. Everybody, you're going to need that emergency fund. This is why it's called an emergency fund. And if they hadn't been stealing 30% of our income for all of these years, there'd be a hell of a lot more people that had emergency funds that would not be in an emergency right now. Instead, we have laid ourselves up. And I'm going to read, there was a comment today I saw on Market Watch as I was looking at the stock market stuff from somebody who just is already heaping praise on the politicians who are sending the money out. And they call themselves a capitalist. I don't know exactly how that works. Anyway, we'll get to that in just a second. You know, I spent so much time during the Bernie Sanders campaign, which I guess is winding down, to try to say in this conversation we had about socialists, I was trying to find a socialist to come in here and sit across the table from me in the studio to just have a conversation. I'm not mad at them. I encourage anybody who wants to try socialism within their family or their peer group or anywhere that voluntary socialism is applicable. You go knock yourselves out. You go try it. You can't impose it on me, but if you want to go try it with your family, you go see how that works. When you tell the people who produce, they've got to give half their stuff to the people who don't produce. Good luck with that. I'd like to see that happen. But I'd love to have a... Now, I guess, the pool of people who are socialists now has so dramatically expanded, I should be able to find some people. People who are loving these bailouts. You're essentially a socialist. You don't want to call yourself that. Because this is just an emergency, Mike. You don't understand. This is just an emergency. Look. This is where the American people should band together, and if we had control of our own income, boy, the charities would be chock full of money, neighbors would be chock full of money, parents would have more money to help their kids, kids might have more money to help their parents. I can't stop listing the ways that if the federal government got out of our lives and out of our pocketbooks, we would be prepared for something like this. And does anybody else find it the least bit frustrating? It really may just be me. I was about to say, is it just me? But it probably is just me. That with all of this talk about these bailouts and stimulus, we're going to send checks here and we're going to bail this industry out and this industry out and this industry out, there is not one single peep made of, well, we're going to have to stop doing X program. We're going to have to divert money from X department and use it over here. There's no talk of that. There's no shrinking of the federal government. There's no moving money around. It's just new money, new debt. They are now talking about a 50-year bond. Currently, the longest duration on any of our bonds is 30 years. Now they're saying to fund all of this new deficit spending, they're going to roll out a 50-year bond. Because I guess when bankrupting the next two generations just isn't quite enough, that's when you roll out the 50 and 100-year bond so you can put that in the lap of children that are two or three generations removed. In the Mike Madison Market Minutes report we've got here, though, the stock market is going absolutely bonkers. I don't have it pulled up in front of me. Let me see real quick here, see where we are, because it doesn't matter where the market was when I came on air. If you looked at the futures market, most people don't. I do. Futures market was a roller coaster unto itself. Usually, you know, market trends up one way for a few days and maybe down. It's every day it's massive up moves, then massive down moves, massive up moves. And unfortunately, the down moves have been more substantial than the up moves. Now, it's not only just a day-to-day thing. It's almost an hour by hour. And the futures market went up and down and up and down. We just turned green. The futures market was down as much as about 700 points, 650 points this morning. It is now up 16 points. Don't know what the headline is. That's doing this, but the market was very yesterday afternoon. It just ramped up when the Senate passed this. I think it's a $1.3 trillion checks to Americans program. So they recovered about 1,000 points yesterday. Yesterday was going to be a horrible, horrible washout, but then the free money started rolling out, and the stock markets recovered. Now, for those people who think that we're going to have a V-shaped recovery, or do you think that stocks have bottomed out now? As I said, they've just turned green for the day. Rough couple of days leading into this. It kind of makes sense that they'll go back up. Nothing goes straight up or straight down in a straight line. But it's stock bottomed. Here's my guess. You can take this for what it's worth. I've been wrong many, many times, but I study this stuff more than 95% of the people that I know. I'd say we're about halfway down from where we're going to end up, and I'll tell you why in just a second. The market may rally. There's going to be just absolutely incredible stimulus. The Federal Reserve, I can't even keep up with all the programs they're rolling out right now. $1.5 trillion was their first thing. They've opened up a commercial paper facility. They've extended. Last night, they actually did, when they first tried to rescue the financial system back in 2008, I believe their first round of QE, quantitative easing, where they go out and buy bonds. I won't bore you with all the mechanics of that, but I want to say it was $40 billion a month. I think it was around $40 billion a month. I could be wrong. Maybe it was $60 billion a month. They did $66 billion yesterday. If that shows you the size of what we're dealing with exactly right now, as I'm telling people, you don't understand. 2008 was a debt crisis. We tried to solve it with more debt, and the debt is bigger now. The holes that are forming right now, the cracks that are forming right now, are bigger than they were in 2008. The Fed has unleashed the hounds on this thing. But here's something to consider. Here's something to consider when you're looking at if you're making any decisions about whether or not to invest, because the financial, see, the smart money, the elites, they need somebody to sell to. See, if they see something coming down, they need to get the sheep buying up their shares. They got to sell. If there's nobody buying, they're stuck and their values just keep dropping. But they need to keep attracting people into the market to buy the stuff they're trying to get out of. I think that's one of the reasons that they're always telling you at the peaks, like we had just a month ago, get in the market. And Americans, we just can't quite figure this out, even after really two fairly recent market crashes in 2000 and 2008. We still can't quite catch on to the game. We buy at the very top when everybody's talking about it. We get excited. Oh, look at all the money everybody's been making in the stock market. I need to get in there. And you get in, and then it tanks, and you'd get your stomach kicked. And so at the very bottom, you sell out. I can't take it anymore. You sell out at the bottom. You sit out as the market goes up, up, up. And then when everybody gets excited about it, you go, ooh, I got to get back in that market. You buy up near the top and then it falls again. And you say, oh, I can't do that. I got to get out. It's odd investor behavior. But anyway, if you think the stock market has bottomed out now and is poised for a rebound, I don't know what the catalyst for that is, but I still hear a lot of people in the financial media saying, buy these dips. Stocks are on sale. U.S. equity markets have merely fallen to the same level of valuation at the peak in 2007. That's how big of a bubble we had blown here. Even after what is now, I guess, somewhere around a 30% decline. Am I right on that? It's pretty darn close. We went from 29 down to 19, so that's about a third of the market was out. But after about a 32% decline in the stock market, it is just now reaching the valuations that were at the peak of 2007. And if you understand what I mean by valuations, it's how expensive stocks are. You don't want to buy stocks when they're expensive. You want to buy them when the price of the stock is low to what their earnings are, not high. So the stock market was overvalued in 2007. That's what caused the 2008 crisis. And we have just come down to those levels. Now, if you remember the 2008 stock market crisis or the stock market crash, we went down about 50% from there. The 2007 valuation levels, and we are just there. This was a bubble built on top of a bubble. That's how bad this bubble is. So we're going to see. Trump says the stock market's going to rebound and the economy's going to rebound stronger than ever outside of this. I do not believe that is going to be the case, but we'll see who's right in the next 6 months to a year. Do your own thing. This is certainly not to be construed as investment advice, because if you had listened to me, you would have gotten out of the market 4 or 5 years ago. Of course, looking at it right now, that still might have been a good move to make. I think we're about halfway there. I think we end up seeing maybe a Dow 10,000. 9,000, maybe 11,000. That would just be my first guess. And there may be a big rally between now and then. Once the stimulus comes out, even in crashes, they usually have what's called a bear market rally, where we may retrace and take back half of the losses that we have right now. This is unprecedented. All of the debt and stimulus and all this, it distorts what historically the stock market has done. It distorts that. So it's going to be a little different this time. But usually every time you have a big drop, then you have a rally for a period of a few, maybe a couple of 3 months, and then the next leg down comes. I believe after this next leg down, we'll probably be sitting around Dow. Yeah, I'm going to say 11,000. That's where I'm calling the ball. Anyway, I'll be right back. We're going to look at some polling that I saw that was done, and really get today. I've never been so in my head about anything as I am this virus and our response to it. It is truly mystifying, very surreal. And depending on, story to story, you can read something where you think, this is just overblown. What in the world are we doing? And then you read another story and you say, oh my gosh, this is about to be really bad. It is a very, very odd thing that is very hard for at least me, maybe it's just me, to really comprehend and get my mind right around whether or not our response is overblown, underblown, uncalled for, desperately needed. I don't know. So I made a little list of just some of the facts we know about this thing, thinking that maybe I would get some clarity on it. I got to tell you, even after I read through this list of facts, I still can't really figure out exactly what's going on with this thing and if we're doing the right thing, the wrong thing, or the necessary thing. It's bizarre times. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller, and Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller, and Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. We're going to talk today. Are we overreacting? I know that's what a lot of people think. And I understand your belief in that. I really do. There are some people who say we didn't do enough. There are some people that say this is going to last for 18 months. There are some people that say it's going to be gone in 4 weeks. There are some people, I mean, you know, it is all over the place. And the thing is I have not been able to figure out. I don't know. I think that's really hard for a lot of people to say. It's not hard for me to say. See, I can look at the financial picture. I understood the debt levels and the problems with the debt levels. I understand why there's a dollar shortage around the world right now. I could talk about that stuff. I don't think anybody's interested. I understand why the stock market was in a bubble. I understand the tragedy that is the airline bailouts. I'm going to tee off on that today, I guarantee you. There's a lot of things I know. And I mean, I know pretty well. I've got a grasp. But you don't know how they're going to play out. And I'm certainly not, the biggest genius in the room to figure it all out. But I study this stuff. I can get a real sense. I can wrap my head around a stock market bubble. I can wrap my head around the fact that the Republicans have become socialists. I can wrap my head around a lot of political things. This one's difficult. I don't know. Everybody's so sure. So half the people are so sure that this is nothing, and half the people are so sure we're all going to die. I'm sure that we're about to have a severe economic crisis. The only way out of it is for them to print up so much money. You don't understand, people. You don't understand how much needs to be bailed out from this crisis. It wouldn't be that way if every corporation and every city. Here's the list of bailouts to get us out of this thing is staggers the mind. You're talking about states are going to need a bailout. Cities, pension plans, banks, airlines, cruise ships, hotels, restaurants, auto industry, casinos. And who was it I saw that was, movie theaters. You have no idea. And the problem, the reason these people need a bailout already, because most of them have only seen disruptions to their business for a couple of weeks, it's because they can't service what? Anyone? Can I hear you out there? Anyone? Their debt. The debt that our government and the Federal Reserve convinced them to take on for years and years and years. Why? Because, number one, it gives you a false sense of prosperity if you're a politician. If everybody's borrowing money and buying back their own stock, it makes the stock market go up, makes you look good, makes it look like everything's humming along. Or if you can get people to borrow money and open up businesses or borrow money and build a new plant, if you can get them to borrow, rather than waiting, saving the money prudently, and then deploying it later at a time, that's real prosperity, but it's slower and more gradual, and it's not flashy enough for the banking sector. Plus, the banking sector has been making trillions of dollars making these loans, right? They're collecting interest on this stuff. So the banking system, the Federal Reserve, our government, our politicians have been encouraging everybody to take on a bunch of debt. Now we're 2 weeks into this correction, and you have got a line out the door for bailouts. And I just don't think people can grasp the numbers we're talking about. Last time we had TARP, it was $700 billion. Do you understand? That's a day's bailout right now. One day. We're already up in the several trillion. Again, this is 2 weeks in. Several trillion dollars. We haven't even done anything for cruise ships, banks. Well, they've done some stealth things to bail out the banks I won't bore you with, but that's already happening. There was a poll that was done. Do you think the media alone has hyped the coronavirus? 62% of Americans believe that the media has exaggerated the threat of coronavirus, according to a new Pew Research poll. Now, I would imagine a lot of the people that are listening to this show are in that 62%, and you're mad at the media for doing that. I am a little bit more agnostic about that because there's things that we know. First, anyone who trusts the media at this point has not been paying attention for years and years. The media has no credibility. And I've seen them hype swine flu, Ebola. It's good for ratings. Look, I'm not stupid. The media has dual reasons right now to make this into a big thing. They make more money. They get more clicks. They draw the eyeballs. They become more. I mean, there's a million reasons. And they want to hurt Trump. I know this. The media is largely against Donald Trump. But are they wrong? But just because all of these things line up kind of to their benefit, they can, and they do ask some baiting questions to Donald Trump, which really drive me nuts during these things. I don't think he answers them well. He should be prepared for the baiting questions. It doesn't seem like he is. He steps right into the trap every time. But the media is full of a bunch of scumbags. I can't stand the media. But does it make them wrong? If the media is overplaying this, the U.S. media, this is what everybody watches. Nobody watches any foreign media outside of nut jobs like me who want to get a perspective from around the world. If the American media is driving this thing and driving the hysteria, how do you explain China's reaction before this thing even got kicked off in our mainstream media? I was reporting on this more than the media was at first when I said they're locking down 700 million Chinese. What in the hell is going on over there? How do you explain? I mean, our mainstream media didn't cause China to take those kinds of actions. Our mainstream media didn't get South Korea in a tizzy. And they went after this thing hard. They're kind of the gold standard on how you handle this thing as of right now. We'll yet to be seen whether this thing boomerangs on them, if they did enough, if they did it long enough. I don't know, but they're kind of the gold standard. They had limited disruption as opposed to Italy. Did our mainstream media shut Italy down? France, Germany, Spain. See, around the world, there is a very frenzied attack on this thing. The steps taken are unprecedented in nation after nation, and they're killing their own economies. So is that because of our media? And if you can follow me through this, I'm not defending our media. They're horrible. But I just have a hard time laying the blame at the feet of the media when, I mean, even if you could in the United States, the reaction from other parts of the world say, well, maybe this is something to be taken serious. Maybe it is something that is serious. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
How are you doing, sir?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just watching the crack up boom phase of the economic collapse of the last empire of America, I hope, and we can get back to straighten this mess out.
It's going to be ugly, but you would hope we'd get to a straight. I'm afraid we go in the opposite direction. I tell you, I just don't. I think this is going to be a power grab.
One man enter, two man leave. One man enter, two man. No, wait, two man enter, one man leave.
We could get to that. Americans are doing okay right now, but we ain't seen nothing yet.
No, I know. I've been on this for weeks. I've been Chris Martinson at Peak Prosperity.
Doing great coverage on this.
Yeah, dude. I've been, like, watching and paying attention to him. And people have been looking at me like, hey, till the food started disappearing.
Yeah, we'll
and,
see.
He got kind of, you know, people, oh, you know. But the JIT system is smashed. China is shipping nothing. That's what people do not understand. What we have on the shelves is what we got. We're going to warehouse is what we got. And rerouting those sources is going to be extremely dicey.
Yeah, this could persist for a while. And, you know, what's a little bit funny to me, not funny, ha-ha, but funny, you know, everybody went out and freaked out about toilet paper and you know, food and stuff like that on the front end. I'm one of those crazy people who's had a bunch of food, freeze-dried food, for a long time. Looks like my day in the sun is coming. But the funny thing is, there aren't – the coronavirus, I don't think, in of itself won't hamper farmers getting to market. And, you know, food may start flowing. What actually could affect – deliveries of food to the grocery stores is the credit crisis we're about to see, or we're already seeing.
Yeah, the inflation. Also, the parts to keep the JIT system conveyor belt, as it were, flowing. I mean, you have a major jam up. You know, what about packaging? We might have to go back. Might have to skip the toilet paper and worry about butcher's block paper, man, like in the old days with the masking tape, man.
Well, you know, it's very difficult. Most Americans can't foresee, and I hope this doesn't happen. It's why I can't really wrap my mind. I mean, where are we in 6 weeks? This is so different than it was a week ago. It's dramatically different than it was a month ago.
Yes.
It's very hard.
The man with the junkyard that comes through this with all the new old stock parts on the shelves shall rule the kingdom, sir.
There are going to be some people who really do well on the other side of this, and it is not going to be the people saddled with debt.
Correct. Just like in the Great Depression. Some old guy, you know, or whoever saw this coming, he said, you know what, I'm going to buy a warehouse and cram it full of tires. Another guy said, you know what, I'm going to buy every damn nail. And every farmer in the county was coming to him and trading him food for nails because nobody else had any. They thought he was crazy at the time, but he had great foresight. He could see the horizon, you know, or the trees before the forest. All right, Mike, have a good day, sir.
Hey, man, appreciate the call. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is a weird one. The thing is I sympathize with both sides. I really sympathize with the people that look like this is an overreaction because it feels like that. I don't even know a whole lot of people sick, do you? You would think all the people around me, you'd just be hearing coughing everywhere. I don't see it. And so that's what is hard. The problem is, too, with that, you could be asymptomatic with this virus for 2 or 3 weeks, my understanding is. We'll go through the facts on this thing in just a little bit to try to piece this together. So we have no idea, and we haven't tested, so we have no idea who's got it. And we don't know who's going to be really horribly affected by it. The doctors seem very concerned about the medical system becoming overwhelmed, although us normal people, us mortals moving around go, why would they be overwhelmed? I don't know a bunch of sick people. So it's mystifying. But the doctors, I mean, are they exaggerating too? This is a really weird time, really, really weird. So we're going to talk about it a little bit and talk about the reaction. There was one thing done yesterday. I got to tell you, I got a little bit of a chuckle from it. It's not funny. Again, you know, I have to understand, I'm an observer of this stuff because I don't carry water for any politician or party. So I just watch these things happen, and then I watch people's reactions to them. I'm against most everything Republicans and Democrats do. If they undo things, I'm kind of on board with most of those. But almost everything they do, I find suspect because I don't like the political parties. They led us to where we are. The reason our economy is so fragile right now, the reason our country is so fragile right now is because of the politicians that have led us. And unfortunately, for anybody who belongs to one of the two parties, you're 50% to blame. I don't know. Maybe Republicans are 35% to blame and the Democrats are 65%. But it just depends. You know, you've had the welfare state and the warfare state holding hands and spending us into bankruptcy, picking all of our pockets to fund their fantasies of the welfare and the warfare state. That's both sides of the aisle. So I don't know. Maybe I can't let the Republicans off that easy. But something happened yesterday that if it had happened under a President Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, conservatives would have lost their mind. I'll do that when I come back. Stay with me. All night
with the King. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, phone number 601-879-0002. We'll be talking the rest of the show. I'd like to know from you if you think we are overreacting, if we did it right. Lou Dobbs, I'm sorry, people. You're with an observer here. You're with an independent person. I don't hate Donald Trump. I don't have Trump derangement syndrome. He does some things that are good, some things that aren't good. That's just my view of him. I don't know. Somehow that's become weird. Somehow that is unacceptable. You have to hate everything he does or love everything he does. Lou Dobbs put out a poll yesterday. And I'm sorry. I got to say it. The left is right about this. Does this not sound like North Korea? Lou Dobbs put out a poll. He said, how do you view Donald Trump's handling of the coronavirus? And he gave them three choices. Very good, great, or superb. Those were the only three choices. Come on now. Come on. You have to admit, even if you are the most diehard Trump fan, you have to know, admit, that's got a little bit of a North Korea feel to it, doesn't it? Can you imagine anybody in North Korea doing a poll on Kim Jong-un? And their poll would be, how great is our dear leader? Is he great? Is he super fantastic, terrific time? Or is he super duper fantastic, terrific time? You know how they use those phrases in Asia. And we would laugh at that. Well, I got to tell you, I laugh at Lou Dobbs. I mean, come on. That is just, maybe he did it tongue in cheek, but it was pretty bad. Anyway, yesterday Trump did something that I don't judge. Maybe it's appropriate. You know, I mean, this is a serious event at the governmental level. Whether you think we've overdone this, if we've, I'm with you. Look, it just feels like a huge overreaction. But if you look at the science, there is cause for concern. So and the thing is, there's nobody to trust. I don't trust our government. I don't trust our politicians. I don't trust our media. I mean, health experts are the ones I would want to trust the most. But boy, they've gotten so many things wrong on Americans' health over the past 40 or 50 years. I talk about it every week on this show in Hump Day Health, that it's hard to believe them, but I'm most likely to believe health experts. Or are they just enjoying their moment in the sun and they're hyping it too? Anyway, yesterday, President Trump has invoked the Defense Production Act in the U.S. response to the corona pandemic, noting that HUD will suspend foreclosures through the end of April as work is underway to evaluate possibility of self-test for virus. The Defense Production Act, DPA, is the primary source of presidential authority to expedite and expand the supply of resources from the U.S. industrial base to support U.S. military, energy, space, and homeland security programs. Homeland security programs eligible for DPA support include, bear with me here, this last one is the one that made me giggle a little bit, efforts to counter terrorism within the United States, emergency preparedness activities conducted pursuant to Title IV, Title VI of the Stafford Act, protection and restoration of critical infrastructure, and continuity of government. Now, I am not one to shy away from conspiracy theories because I know how corrupt our federal government is. I know how bad our media is, and I know there are conspiracies and history is so twisted. You can just see I do a segment called False Flag Friday to expose the lies. We bombed Syria twice based on chemical attacks that in one case didn't happen, and in the other case were actually our own sponsored jihadists that did it to get the U.S. involved in the war. So I know these things. But I have lived around these people. If Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama had signed anything in this crisis that included the phrase continuity of government, conservatives, particularly in the conspiracy community, would have lost their ever-loving minds. You would have thought that was, oh my gosh, they're going for it. Now, again, I'm not judging what Trump's doing. But I would have been more suspicious of it under a Hillary Clinton, because I know she's a megalomaniac, evil, evil woman. But boy, The silence on the idea of Trump invoking some level of continuity of government, the silence of Trump supporters, because they would have lost their mind if that had been President Clinton doing it. I just know that. Again, I don't judge it. I'm not saying he did anything wrong or right. I don't really know. And I'm the one of the few people who will say, I don't know if this was necessary or not. Here is a little something on continuity of government I wanted to play for you, because this is another thing. See, again, as an observer of this, not having to carry water for one party or the other, I can see these things, and they're interesting to me. This was, I believe, a Senate hearing, or was this House, back in the 1980s, talking about continuity of government, and I just thought it was worth playing right now.
The enemy Colonel North, in your work at the NSC.
This is Representative Jack Brooks questioning Oliver North, and of course Oliver North's attorney with him too. But listen to how they talk about the plans for continuity of government.
Were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman.
This is where the attorney steps in. Oliver North sits back, crosses his arms, and says nothing, and the attorney steps in.
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area.
Now, this is actually, what's his name, Jack Inouye or something like that. He was a Democrat from Hawaii. He stops this question cold in the hearing. And if what you just heard is the first congressman say, were you involved in continuity of government and what does that involve? There was concern at the time by people that a continuity of government plan would involve suspending constitutional rights for Americans. You couldn't protest. You couldn't speak freely. There was a lot of secrecy around this, and people were very suspicious. This is back in the 1980s. So this congressman asks, what's up with this continuity government thing you've been working on? The attorney stops Oliver North from answering, and then Jack Inouye, I think his name is Inouye, he steps in to stop the question from his own congressional delegation.
So may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe
I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks.
So there you go. So that's back in the 1980s when they first were talking about this continuity of government stuff. This is what Trump put into place yesterday, part of it. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I don't know. I'm fully prepared to say I don't know. But boy, if Hillary Clinton had put in a continuity of government thing, Trump supporters would be up in arms. She's suspending the Constitution. Now, what's interesting about that, again, as I pick apart these political parties from as an equal opportunity attacker, Jack Brooks, the guy that was asking about this, that was concerned about the suspension of the U.S. Constitution and a continuity of government plan, was a Democrat from Texas. Now, this is back in the 1980s before the Democrats completely lost their minds and started not understanding that children are born either male or female. So the Democrats from the 1980s probably wouldn't even recognize the Democrats of today, largely. But I find it very interesting that you have a Democrat asking about the suspension of the Constitution and being stonewalled by Oliver North, who rises up to be a prominent Republican neocon and Fox News host selling the Republicans on more wars. It's just more of the bizarro world. So you had a Democrat that was concerned about, but isn't the mainstream narrative that the Republicans are the champions of the Constitution? We are the patriots. We really hold the founding fathers in high esteem. Yet Oliver North, who was involved in a plan to suppress the U.S. Constitution by force, by our own government, rises up to be one of the Republican darlings and a Fox News host, while the Democrat who asked the question about suspension of constitutional rights is sidelined. It's just very interesting to me. This is why, if you listen at the 10 o'clock hour, my intro will play again with the famous Bill Hicks comedy routine. Starts it out. The puppet on the right and the puppet on the left. Look at here. Same guy's holding up both puppets.
All night with the king.
food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
As I said on Monday, I think it's really important to always find any opportunities you can to laugh, particularly in times of stress. It's a great way to blow off a little steam, and there are funny things. My favorite story of this, I can't imagine one that's going to be better than the one where ISIS warned its people not to go into the land of the infidel in Europe because of the virus, and they advised their people to wash their hands. This is ISIS. And I just imagine this meeting where the leader is up there in his full black robe with his big beard. We will strike the infidel. We will take them. Wait, Mohammed, did you wash your hands? You need to go over there. Remember, happy birthday. You do the happy birthday song. You do the Death to America song two times when you wash your hands. Two times! It's just something about ISIS telling their members to wash their hands because of the virus really cracks me up. There was another headline yesterday. Baltimore mayor begs residents to stop shooting so hospitals can be used for coronavirus patients. This kind of reminds me, what was the movie? Oh, I can't believe I can't remember it right now. There was some movie where they're in some kind of a firefight and one of the guys runs out of ammunition and he goes, time out, okay? they're trying to kill each other, but one guy's trying to call a timeout. So the Baltimore mayor is telling his people, hey, if you would, can we have a timeout on the shooting each other for just a little while? I mean, you can get back to, as soon as the crisis passes and the hospital beds are open, you can shoot each other as much as you want. We'll give you the bullets. We'll give you the targets, but just for a couple of weeks. Just give us 6 to 8 weeks, maybe a little less murdery out there. Let's just be a little less murdery, and then we'll resume, in the summer. It's nicer to shoot people in the summer anyway. People are outside, It's a much more target-rich environment. Let's give us 6 weeks. 6 weeks, a little less murdery. Thanks, people. This is what we're coming to. So I'll be on the watch for these kinds of headlines. But ISIS washing your hands. Come on. That's comedy gold right there. Absolutely comedy gold. We're going to talk next hour. I've got my list of facts we know about the coronavirus. I may be the only person that'll take to the radio and tell you, I don't really know what to make of this. I do know the consequences are going to be bad for us economically. Since the day I started talking about this back in probably late January, whenever China was first making its headlines for closing Wuhan and other places, I said, this is going to be a big economic story. I had no idea how big, but I knew that it was certainly just shutting China down for a while was going to do supply chain interruptions. The way it's bleeding across the globe now is absolutely amazing, but I just cannot figure out. So next hour, if you think we've been exaggerating this, if you think we've overhyped this thing, the problem is we don't know where we are next week. If in 2 weeks the hospitals are overrun, we'll think we didn't do enough. It's a mind bender. I just don't know which way it goes. We'll talk about it next hour.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so
much. All right. Hello, comrades. comrades. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Yep, we are all comrades now as we see the country slide into the depths of socialism. But Mike, it's an emergency. Well, you know, it's one of those things that capitalists are supposed to prepare for. We're going to talk a little bit about bailouts today. I think I'll get to that. You know, I got to tell you, Americans should be in the streets. Well, at a safe distance, 6 to 8 feet apart, people. A very orderly, socially distanced protest. See, they've got us right where they want us. We can't protest because you can't get in groups more than 10 now. I'm starting to see what they're up to now. We should be on the phone lines with our congressman. This airline bailout. Let me tell you. I'm a child of Delta Airlines. Huge Delta Airlines fan. Delta Airlines gave me a middle-class upbringing in the greatest country on planet Earth. Through the 70s and 80s, Delta Airlines paid all of my family's bills. My dad worked for Delta Airlines for 35 years. Got a pension from them. Great benefits. He liked his job. Now, they didn't hand him anything. He worked hard for it. Started as a mechanic coming out of the Navy. And ended up being one of the he's a chief ticket agent, I guess is what he was, back out at the airport. It's so funny. When I was a kid, my dad used to take me during the summer sometimes to the airport. And I would crawl around everywhere. I mean, I was walking up to the tower. I was going out, and I couldn't walk out onto the tarmac as a child, but I could go down the baggage handling. I would crawl through. I mean, I was just all over the place. Oh, couldn't do that today. I was kind of actually laughing about it. I was at the airport with somebody not long ago, and I was looking. They've changed so much of it, but I thought, man, I just had run of this place. I was just a kid. You know, it was just a simple time back then. Now there's checkpoints everywhere. There's people in uniforms. They got gloves on. They're touching your privates. I mean, it's a different ball game now. But my dad worked for Delta. I flew the world. Delta gave us the best benefits. We flew first class around the world as I was a child, a snot-nosed child who couldn't appreciate it as much as I would right now. But we went to Europe just about every summer. We flew around this country all the time. We got to Fiji. We got to Hawaii. My dad would come home sometimes on a Thursday afternoon early, around lunchtime. During the summer or something. What are you doing home early, Dad? And he'd go, pack a bag, son. We're going to Hawaii for the weekend. This is the life that Delta Airlines gave me. I love Delta Airlines. That being said, the idea that the taxpayer is on the hook to bail out the airlines at this particular junction of time should be appalling to people. And the reason is not because they aren't suffering, and it's not because I don't love all the people that are still at Delta and United and for all of the airlines. But as I reported the other day, and it just is a thorn in my paw that will not be removed, the airlines have used 96% of their free cash flow since 2011 or 12, I believe, to purchase their own stock. They could have set money aside for a 2 or 3 month interruption to operations. They could have kept their employees employed. They could have given them paid time off, battened the hatches, and still been strong operating corporations. But they did not choose to do that. They instead chose to load themselves up with debt and spend just about 96 cents out of every dollar in profit they made. They decided to, well, actually free cash flow, 96 cents of every dollar, instead of setting it aside and making them strong corporations ready for downturns. They'd already lived through 9/11. They know bad things can happen to the air industry, but they didn't shore up their balance sheets at all. Instead, they bought their own stock back. Why did they buy their own stock back? Because they wanted to goose their own stock options and their own bonuses. And they are one of the first beneficiaries of $50 billion of taxpayer money. That is outrageous. And it is going to happen, and we are going to have nothing to say about it. A couple of airlines need to go broke. Because you know what happens if you bail them out this time? You're going to bail them out the next time. Because management learns this. Wow. We were about as reckless with our cash flow as humanly possible. And we made massive profits doing it for ourselves personally. The boards of directors, the executives, they got great bonuses. Their stock did great because they were out there buying it. You know, when there's a demand for a stock, the price goes up. So they are going to leave with this experience, abusing the system and acting irresponsibly, rewards them tremendously, and when the risk goes wrong, when things go bad, the taxpayer will step in and take care of them. So they will do it again and again and again. Now, we're not going to say anything this time, particularly on the conservative side. The conservatives are the one that should be outraged now, but they won't be because why? Anyone? Because this is Trump's plan. He says we got to bail out the airlines. Now, this is going to be true with a lot of corporations. They didn't learn their lesson in 2008. The lesson that they learned in 2008 was go ahead and take as much risk as you want. Do whatever you can to line your pockets, no matter how risky it is for the long-term viability of your company, because if things go wrong, we'll ask the taxpayer for the money. Did you hear what I said? I made a Freudian slip. Not a Freudian, but I made a slip. I said, we'll ask the taxpayer for money. They don't ask the taxpayer for money. They take taxpayer money. That's why they own Congress critters. It's much cheaper, rather than setting aside tens of billions of dollars in an operating account for when things go wrong to help them weather a storm, it's much easier just to spend, I don't know, what, a few million dollars to buy politicians? What would you rather do? I mean, there's a lot of Americans right now that are going to have some real severe economic disruptions. Would you rather, you know, take $1,000 at some point and just give it to a politician so you know they've got your back anytime you fail? Or would you rather have to sacrifice and save and set aside an emergency fund and all that stuff? Not near as much fun. The airlines that have taken 96 cents out of every dollar and lined their own pockets with it through manipulation of their stock are now going to get $50 billion from our great-grandchildren. This is about as disgusting, because this is such an easy example. I could tear apart every piece of these bailout plans. Number one, they're socialism. It's privatizing the profits, you know. All the executives and the companies and the shareholders do real well. They all take their profits. Nobody's giving anything back. Nobody's storing anything. They just take as many profits as they can while things are going up. But as soon as things go down, suddenly it's all of our responsibility. Now, Delta gave me a good run. I love them. Love Delta Airlines. But I got to tell you, there's been times I've taken other airlines when I've had to fly. You know why? Because Delta was charging me too high of a price for the ticket. So they're not doing me any favors now. They certainly haven't been giving Americans free. I mean, are we at least going to get like a free plane ride somewhere when this is all said and done? If we're going to pull their butts out of the fire because they've been reckless and irresponsible with their money just to line their own pockets, do we get like frequent flyer miles somehow? Are those going to be deposited to us too? No. Nope. There are no strings attached where the people are concerned. Now, they are going to give the people some money now. They're going to send out money. I guess I'll get to this too because I may not get to it later. Larry Kudlow, the chief economic advisor, came out talking about the bailouts for the airlines. They're not done. Larry Kudlow came out and said, the story says, at this point, the White House has reportedly discussed bailouts for the shale industry, the airlines, cruise lines, Boeing, and a nonspecific bailout allotment worth hundreds of billions in the second economic relief package. So it should hardly come as any surprise that Larry Kudlow said Wednesday, and again, Larry Kudlow is Trump's chief economic advisor. Larry Kudlow said Wednesday, after the market closed off the lows following an afternoon ramp, that the White House might consider outright purchases of equities, meaning stocks, as part of its corporate bailout plan. That's borderline just pure fascism. I was listening to that Mike Madison show. He called Trump a fascist. I'll never tune into that guy again. No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying the actions that are being undertaken by our Congress. I mean, Chuck Schumer today coming out and going, we need to do something big and bold. This is no time to hold back. Isn't that a great statement when you're talking about using other people's money or just indebting future generations? How magnanimous of him. My hero. He stole money from the American people every single... How long has he been in Congress? Decades, I'm sure. He's the Wall Street darling, too. Chuck Schumer is like the Wall Street whisperer. Now, a lot of Wall Street, I believe, is funding both parties, but Chuck Schumer is supposed to be, he's the real Wall Street whisperer there. How wonderful to him to, he's just my hero. Because he's going to take a bunch of other people's money and be magnanimous with it. This is where we are, people. And what I'm going to watch happen. I mean, I'm looking for somewhere I can bet on the over-under on the deficit this year. I'm taking, I don't care what it costs, I'm taking the over on $5 trillion. Because a lot of people aren't there mentally yet, so I'll get a good line on that. I'll get a good return because most people will go, Mike, come on, $5 trillion, are you insane? It's going to be a little higher than normal, but when the economy roars back in the second half of this year, the deficits won't be near as bad. As Kim Wade would say, I call boo-boo on that. Now, I'd take the $5 trillion. I'd take the over on $5 trillion for new debt. So what I'm going to witness is Republicans and Democrats, the people, I don't know, maybe this is what finally brings us together. Libertarians like myself will be left out in the cold just watching this. I'm just popping popcorn and watching it. Watching both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party destroy the country right in front of us financially. I mean, they've been doing it for decades, but now this is the real cherry on the top. But I'm going to watch Republicans, who are supposed to be the fiscally responsible ones, lose all bearing and all ideology and all core beliefs and all principles. Because these bailouts are going to be brought to you by Republicans and Donald Trump. So they must be good this time. It's like all the wars were bad, except for the Iran war. We definitely need to do something to Iran. All the bailouts, all the things the Fed did under Barack Obama were terrible. But when they do the exact same thing under Trump, they're good. This I'm watching it happen. It's called mental gymnastics, and I'm not limber enough to do them with everybody else, but I will sit here and report on it. Now, Larry Kudlow is saying the White House is going to buy stocks. You need to look at, if you are an investor in the stock market or interested where this thing's going to go, you really need to look at the Japanese stock market. Look at a chart of this Japanese stock market. I've talked about it a couple times. I'm going to bring it up several times because I believe it's going to be our fate. The reason I say that is because Japan's government buys their stock market. Japan owns like 80% of the exchange-traded funds in the Japanese stock market. The Japanese stock market is essentially just a government operation at this point. It's not a free market thing. And they're the third largest economy on the planet. Well, Larry Kudlow wants that for us too. So go look at the Japanese stock market, the Nikkei. Its peak was 40,000. It currently sits, before this crisis, I don't know if they've been going up or down. I don't track them. They're somewhere around 24,000. The peak of 40,000, do you know when it was? Do you think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago like ours was? No. Their peak was in 1989 or 1990. They've barely recovered half the value of their stock market from 1989, 1990, even though their government is buying stocks, which should drive the stock market up. God knows where their stock market would be if the government wasn't doing it. They're also printing a ton of money, and they're in huge trouble. They buy their own bonds, which is the exact same thing the Fed is doing here. The problem is that I have is that when I talk to people about this, when I listen to sane economists, they go, I don't think we can do what Japan's done. I think it's going to be worse for us. I mean, if we were just going to become Japan, which has been an economic disaster now for decades, but we're doing exactly what Japan has been doing. I saw a story this morning. The guy who buys stocks for the Japanese government, do you know how much the Japanese government has lost on their stock purchases? $3 trillion. This is where we're headed, people. And I don't care if it's Trump doing it or Obama doing it or Hillary doing it or whoever does it. This is a bad idea. I'm going to sit back with my popcorn. I'm going to watch everybody support this or oppose it based purely on politics. No economic sense whatsoever, no core beliefs, no ideology, no principles, just on whether or not it's your guy who's doing it or the other guy that's doing it that makes it bad. But the Republicans and the Democrats are coming together on this one. Chuck Schumer says, bring out the big gun, spare no expense. This is a true crisis. Very magnanimous. My hero.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
I ended up going off on a little bit of a rant there when I'm talking about our government's going to buy stocks now. See, this is going to bail out the corporations. You think, well, that'll help our 401ks, Mike. Oh, we're so cute. We're such a cute little population. We hand over. Did I do the math yesterday? I need to play something. I had some background music for this. I think they say, is the phrase sarcasm is the lowest form of humor, something like that? I disagree. I engage in sarcasm constantly because I think it points out the absurdity of things, but it may be off-putting to some people. I don't know. I've been sarcastic most of my life, and I always try to make people laugh. In my real life, I'm just trying to crack as many jokes as I can. I just love to laugh. And sarcasm's funny to me, and it points out absurdity. So I'm very sarcastic on the show. Hopefully it's not completely off-putting, because that would really make this very off-putting. Here's the new theme, my new bailout theme. Larry Kudlow talking about buying stocks and everything else. I've already done the Soviet national anthem. That might have ruffled some feathers. You don't like me pointing out the obvious socialism of what we're doing right now. But here's another one. I found another national anthem that I think is going to be my bailout report. Now don't get mad at me. It's not the Nazi theme or anything. It is German. Does anybody know what time period this is from? Anyone? Anyone? This is the Weimar Republic's. It's their national anthem. If you don't know what the Weimar Republic is, it's a country whose currency collapsed. Weimar Republic is the example that many people give when they talk about having to take wheelbarrows full of dollars to go buy a loaf of bread because they hyperinflated their currency, which is what we are doing right now. It is a pretty song. Feels very regal. I don't know. Maybe we can get some English translation, and maybe I can be the guy that breaks this thing out and repops it, make a little bit of money about that in the bailout stuff. There's all kinds of people coming out of the woodwork. They are all so excited. Mitt Romney, $1,000 for Mitt Romney. Cory Booker and Michael Bennett of Colorado and Sherrod Brown of Ohio are proposing sending $2,000 to every adult and child below a set income. That could be $6,000. Ro Khanna and Tim Ryan proposed sending a check between $1,000 and $6,000 to every American who earned less than $65,000 last year. Now, look, I'm telling you again, don't not take the check. I'm not standing on any principle here. If they give me the money, I take the money. It's our money. I'd prefer the checks go out to the people than to Boeing. Are you kidding me? And I want to say this, too. Donald Trump has said we must protect Boeing. Boeing already shot itself in the foot so amazingly with their safety problems, and they've also been borrowing massive amounts of money even before their safety problems and buying back their own stock. They've been doing the same reckless behavior, and reckless behavior even with human lives, but they must be protected. You know, they're a defense contractor and all. They've spent an awful lot of money buying up Congress. They must be protected because they're a gravy train for Congress critters. But take this money and run with it. I'll do a little bit of math on that in just a second. Here's Mr. Ryan. This is Tim Ryan. To me, this is about cash. And listen to this. This is what I thought was interesting. It's about cash to workers and about cash to business people as quickly as we possibly can so we don't start missing mortgage and car payments. It's a backdoor bailout to the lenders, to the banks. Who's holding all these debts? The banks. Banks are holding all these mortgage payments, so Congress wants to shove some money out in the system so that we can all make sure we keep up our debt payments. They'll talk a little bit about food, but we know what they really want us to do. They don't want us to welch on our bank loans, so they're going to give us the money to pay. It's a backdoor bank bailout. Should such a plan take off, it's unclear if it would be the third pandemic response package that Congress plans to take up next or the second one, which passed the House. Blah, blah, blah. Senator Tom Cotton pushed Monday to include some direct help for Americans in the bill. He said the cash stipend may not be their full wage, but it will be enough and it will be in their hands immediately so they can feed their kids, so they can pay their bills, he said in a Senate floor speech on Monday, proposing an instant tax refund or rebate. That can be done right now. Oh, my hero, Tom Cotton. Now, Tom Cotton has been cheering for every disastrous war or potential war that he could get his hands on since he's been in Congress. Trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. Wouldn't it be nice if we had that $8 trillion from the endless foreign adventures in the Middle East right now? Probably come in pretty handy. Don't you think? As would the money that would be in your pockets if you weren't asked to foot the bill for the $8 trillion in endless wars in the Middle East. See, these issues will get lost in most places. Most places, as I say, I'm going to watch Republicans and conservatives really get behind these things. Let me see if I can get to the comment here. There was a capitalist on MarketWatch. Where did I put his comment? I found it kind of pathetic, I have to admit. Is that judgy? It is pretty judgy. Maybe I didn't even print off that page. There it is. Here it is. This was a commenter about the bailouts, about the $1,000 checks. Someone said, this will get Trump reelected, all capital letters. I'm hoping they use SSNs and the address associated with those SSNs on a tax return. If the numbers kicked around become real, $1,000 per adult, $500 per child, that is, all caps, one nice big present. Thank you so much, Donald Trump. My only addition is that checks be issued for consumption purposes only. When the socialism of giving you money from the federal government's not quite enough, make sure you direct the Americans on exactly how they can spend it. Make sure you put as much strength. And this guy, now in some other comments, a couple people kind of made fun of him like I am right now. But he said, no, I'm a capitalist. I'm a conservative. He's thanking Donald Trump for the $1,000. He calls it one nice big present. Does he not realize that's just his money? He talks in one of his responses. I didn't clip all of his comments. He talks in one of his responses about all the taxes he pays every year. I mean, I'm telling you what, am I the only person that sees this? Seriously, even on the conservative side of things, I'm the only person that sees this. That the government steals a bunch of money from you and then ask for our applause when they give us a tiny portion of it back rather than leaving it in Americans' hands and letting us have our own emergency fund. Am I the only person who sees this? I'm beginning to think I am. I'm not the only person. I travel in some circles. I go to Zero Hedge. Zero Hedge still got a lot of kind of rogue traders and libertarians on there. It's been infested by a bunch of neocons since Drudge Report linked to it. I like Drudge, but not always the brain trust of commenters that once Drudge Report got there. But I do travel in some circles where I do see some like-minded people, but I also get outside of those bubbles. I don't just live in a bubble. I'm in Trump country, so I get kind of a, you know, I get all of it. And I went to Huffington Post today, and they did equally objectionable hit jobs on Donald Trump. So we live in a political world, but it's amazing to me to watch the government strip Americans of all their wealth and their potential to. And it doesn't mean the American system's bad. You can still go start a business here. I mean, you got to jump through a bunch of hoops, both at the county level, the state level, and the federal level with all the regulations and red tapes and permitting and fees and forms. tax forms and all this other stuff. But, you know, if you're persistent enough to break through the bureaucracy at every level, you can start a little business here. America still has got some opportunity here. The thing is that if you achieve any success, the government immediately starts stripping you of some of it. If you achieve great success, then when you die, they just step in and take half your money. And then, in times of crisis, the American people are supposed to take to one knee, slightly bow the head, and kiss the ring of the politician that gives us $1,000 of it back. Thank you. Thank you.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. We're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 1039 WIAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. You can also get the show podcast, interrupted daily schedule. You can also listen to WIAB different ways, too. You know, people are going to have to alter their things. People who might have normally been in the car during this time or in their office, you can get it online. Go to WIAB.com and listen. You can also get the TuneIn app on your phone and listen to all the great WIAB programming. Lots of ways to get it. My show in particular is podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcast or Podbean. I don't know what to get. I mean, do you think we've overreacted to this thing? That's what I see a lot of people saying. The poll said 62% of people think that the media has driven this thing. But now, I mean, the Trump administration is making this thing serious. They're taking actions like this is a true national emergency. So what is driving what? Has Trump just been forced to do this? Is that kind of the thinking now? That he has had to take these actions. He didn't want to take them, and they're not really necessary, but the media has forced him. I can kind of see a little bit of that logic, except that, again, I say France, Spain, Italy, South Korea, Singapore, Hong Kong, China, they've all taken very, very, very drastic actions to deal with this. There is news coming out now. I guess I should pass along in case people aren't reading all of the headlines. Getting news right now, because I pay attention to politics. I'm very interested in health, and I'm very interested in financial markets. Right now, it's like drinking out of a fire hose. There's so much coming out there. But there is news that is coming out. They're looking, particularly in Europe, which I guess is a more similar genetic connection to us than might have been in Asia, is they're seeing younger people with hospitalizations, maybe not the death rates, that older people or people with compromised immune systems, but relatively young adults between 20 and 50 are accounting for around 40%. Last number I saw, and these numbers are always kind of shifting, you know. That's the thing about this, too. It's hard to get a handle on this thing because we just don't know. Everybody knows. Everybody professes to know. Some people say, oh, this thing is so deadly, if we don't all sit in our house for the next 6 months, we're all going to die because it's the death rate is 3.5%. Well, that doesn't make sense to me because there's a lot of people walking around with it that don't even know they have it. They're not only not going to die, we don't even count them in the numbers that are affected. So obviously that death figure would have to be substantially lower. Most recent one is about 1% fatality rate of this thing, where the common flu is 0.1. So it's 10 times more deadly than the flu. That's kind of where we are now. I think that might even trend lower. Problem is, it's very communicable. But it's just so funny to me to watch people comment on these things, and they either know it's going to kill a ton of people, or they know that this is no big deal. And the truth of the matter is, if people would be honest with themselves, we don't really know yet. In Europe, this hospitalization and critical care needs for younger adults is very concerning to me. Not only for myself, but for my kids. I've kind of felt like, you know, if this thing goes around, this feels like a lot of hysteria because we're really, the main goal is just to protect the older generations, but that maybe that's not the case.
Maybe anybody is susceptible to getting this. There was a headline out yesterday that said people with type A blood get it more often than other people. There's so many other things to learn about this. You know, my personal experiences, I know that one person who got it, gave it to her father-in-law. She was very sick. She's actually regressing this week. She had 4 to 5 weeks of severe illness, 1 week of seeming recovery, and she is sliding backwards a little bit now. I haven't talked to her in the last couple of days, but she's sliding back. It has been very, very hard flu pneumonia for her. So I don't know exactly where that leaves us. And the thing is that with the idea that the media is hyping this thing, it does not explain the governmental response all the way from our government. I know, somebody sent me an email yesterday, and God love you. You send me a lot of good stuff, but there was something comparing the fact that I think maybe more lockdowns or more something was in blue states rather than red states. And I mean, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know why that matters in a disease. Does everything have to be? Republicans and Democrats are losing money in the stock market, a lot of money in the stock market. Republicans and Democrats are going to get sick. Republicans and Democrats are going to die. Republicans and Democrats are going to recover. And some Republicans and Democrats will never, ever be touched by this thing. Republicans and Democrats are going to lose their job. And if I can throw this in on top of that, Republicans and Democrats are going to get screwed over by these bailouts. Republicans and Democrats will all be on the hook for this massive amount of stimulus and debt the government's running up. This should be a catalyst. This should be a coming together of people to realize the game that's about to be played on you. The financial system, having learned absolutely nothing from 2008, actually they were encouraged to do more of the reckless behavior that led to 2008 by both Republican and Democratic administrations, by both Republican and Democrat Congress, have set up all of the conditions, and these are corporations run by both Republicans and Democrats, and all of these corporations have people that work for them that are Republicans and Democrats. Everybody's in the same boat right now, yet people still want to pick this apart and say, well, it's the Democrats' fault that this is happening. No, it's all Donald Trump's fault that this is happening. It is pure insanity to not be able to view even an illness with some level of objectivity. And the smartest thing anybody could say about this right now, as far as I'm concerned, is we don't know what's going to happen. The people that I listen to give projections. They explain the math on how infectious diseases spread. They talk about these things, but they're willing to admit this is the range of things that could happen. But we don't know. But you've got a whole bunch of people out there. This is just a cold. I mean, that was kicked off by Rush Limbaugh. Oh, Mike, did you see the Democrat that came out and she was, I don't know if she was joking or she said that more Republicans are going to die because they're not taking it as seriously. She's politicizing it. Yeah, she is. She's a Democrat politician. Are you not better than a Democrat politician? And I'll be honest with you, she may have a point. If Republicans are the one group I just cannot work myself up to get angry at. I'm not really not angry at any American people. I'm just imploring you to start thinking for yourselves. Take this seriously. Understand the economic ramifications of it. The people who understand what's happening right now economically are going to do really well on the other side. The people who are just blindsided by this out of pure party loyalty or pure party hatred for the other party are going to be blindsided. You're going to be left behind. That's the real shame of it. Being informed is better than being just political. But, you know, there's a lot of stories about the spring breakers on the beaches, and they just won't decongregate. Whatever the word from that, they won't disperse. They're out there dancing and drinking. The pools are packed. And everybody's screaming at the young folks, get out of the pool. Stop. What are you doing? And I understand, you know, what they're doing, some reckless behavior, but that's what college students do. If you had tried to get me off my 1986, was it 6 or 7? If you had tried to take me out of Daytona Beach in 1986 or 87 when I was down there with three of my idiot friends hitting on girls and drinking too much beer, I would have told you to go jump, man. I'm young and invincible. I cannot blame these college students. Is what they're doing smart? No. But I got to tell you, I mean, I wouldn't have done the smart thing at that point. I mean, what 19-year-old who has a chance to go down and be around a bunch of cute girls or cute guys is sitting there going, well, what will my effect on the pandemic be? No, that's not your priority when you're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. I won't use the phrase for why people go on spring break, what their real goal is, but there's a lot of that. It's to have fun, man. They're not doing the right thing for people pandemic-wise. But boy, I say this a lot. I can't get mad at young celebrities when they do stupid things. They've got millions of dollars. Everybody around them tells them how great they are. They make a stupid statement, and we're supposed to pile on them. I just think back to my 18, 19-year-old idiot self and think, I would have said something probably 10 times stupider than that. I would have done dumber things. If you had given me $2 million, $5 million, $10 million when I was 19 years old, I don't think I would have lived to have seen 20 or 21. I'm supposed to judge them because they're making bad decisions? I don't know. I'm very in touch with my 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old idiot self. I'm in touch with my 30-year-old idiot self, my 40-year-old idiot self, my 50-year-old. I mean, I've made the mistakes, too. It makes it very difficult for me to judge others. I don't know. Give the kids a break. They're not doing the right thing. They're going to cause some problems. Some people are going to get sick that normally wouldn't have gotten sick if they'd canceled spring break. But, boy, I got to tell you, you could not have convinced me to cancel spring break. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final segment for today. Yeah, very interesting. I have no idea what we'll be talking about tomorrow. There's a lot of, I do a lot of foreign policy stuff on Friday, and there's a lot of stuff actually going on, some of it kind of concerning. We have to be careful. In times of great crises, countries go to war. It's a way to kind of distract the people. This has happened historically. I'm not saying it's going to happen. We didn't really have a major new war after 2008 or during it. But what we're seeing, what I believe we're going to see, should the credit markets continue to deteriorate, and I think they will, we're going to see a really, really, really deep recession, and they're floating the D word out there too. I think people should wrap their minds around that and start making some plans. You know, think of what you could do. Gosh, so many people made a lot of money during the Depression. It's the side that's not really told, because most people are helpless in those situations, as we're finding out right now. We're all helpless. We've been stripped. There's an article right now. I saw the headline on Drudge during the break. Made me growl a little bit when I saw it. Americans need to relearn to sacrifice. Well, we do need to toughen up. When you've got a country that can be triggered by a tweet and forced into a safe space due to a microaggression, we're not really, doesn't really feel like we're prepared for any hardship. We're going to have to readjust our priorities, and the microaggressions might have to take a backseat to true hardship. Maybe we can start to, find our way to be a slightly tougher society. But, it's just funny to me as we discuss bailouts for some of these big corporations that have been making millions. I mean, these CEOs, and I'm not a communist. I mean, you're not listening to some leftist on here. If they were making it honestly, and then when things went against them, they made a bunch of money before, but their actions led to their bankruptcy and they went bankrupt, then I would say that's capitalism. They weren't doing anything illegal. But it was unwise, and now they're going to suffer the consequences. They're going to lose their company, and it's going to go under. Now maybe boards of directors should stop the companies from doing all these massive buybacks, because look at that. It makes your company really weak, and in a time of crisis, you go out of business, your company is no more. That's capitalism, man. I don't have a problem with them making the money, but they need to bear the consequence. They don't get to make the money on the way up and then tag the taxpayer for it and then tell us we need to learn how to sacrifice. You're going to see a lot of this. You are going to see a lot of this. You need to sacrifice. You're going to have to lower your standard of living. Meanwhile, money is printed up just endlessly to keep the banks afloat. That's not right. That's not capitalism. That's not conservative. It's nothing. It's fascism, essentially. I'm not laying that. I didn't just call Trump a fascist. That guy keeps calling Trump. No, I'm telling you, the financial system that props up megacorporations on the backs of taxpayers, that's fascism. And it's been doing it for decades. but particularly in the last 11 years. Barack Obama famously did this. Look, and I'm not prepared for this either. I do have food. I've been one of those, I'm not a full prepper, but I've kept some food around for years just because I thought, I don't know, it makes me kind of feel good. I did it more for a credit crisis, not a virus or a, you know, grid down event necessarily, but I understand. See, what people don't understand, what happens in a credit crisis, the trucks that drive your food to markets, this is why supply chains are in danger in the future, not so much now. I mean, things from China are disrupted, but, you know, interstate commerce here can still go on. But if the credit markets go, a lot of trucking companies, the gas that goes into their trucks is drawn off of a credit line. And when they can't draw on that credit line because the credit's been revoked because the banks don't trust the companies, the trucking companies anymore, then trucks just sit on the side of the road. They don't go anywhere. They don't have cash laying around for the gas to pay their truckers and all that stuff. Everything is done on leverage. It's all done with borrowed money. When the credit crisis goes, the economy goes. Then that's why I've had food. I also am very encouraged by some emails that I'm getting from Publishers Clearinghouse. Now, the problem is they're offering me, I believe they say, it really sounds like it's, I'm very close to winning $7,000 a week for life. According to these emails, I think it's pretty much a done deal, be honest with you. I mean, it's like you're certified, they need my address, they've got like a local florist on there that's ready to, you know, have the flowers delivered to my house. I mean, I think I've won. I'm just going to put it that way. It looks like I've already won. The problem is that $7,000 a year for life, if they destroy the currency, my big winnings are going to go down the tubes. My $7,000 a month is just going to buy a loaf of bread if you people allow them to destroy the dollar by printing up all this endless rounds of money. Come on. I'm finally going to win the Publishers Clearinghouse thing, and you're going to destroy my monthly stipend? Going to make render it worthless? It may be why Publishers Clearinghouse does this. Maybe why they're even trying to give me $7,000 a week for the rest of my life and one of my children's life, too. My children should, both of them should be really, I got twins. They should be nice to me. One of them's going to end up inheriting $7,000 a week. Unfortunately, it's going to be worth nothing because during this bailout time, during this financial crisis, we're going to destroy the dollar. It's a real shame for me and Publishers Clearinghouse. That's all the time I got. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.